Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
It's sitting and then E.T. puts in the group chat, hey, all the BU students that are this like membership or I forget what it was, meet me in this room. And I see E.T. coming down the stairs and this was before he even met me in person yet. Mm. So he comes out and he just so happens to cross me and my mom and I'm just like, Mom, there's E.T. And that was like the big first celebrity that I've really ever met.
It's funny when he's not on stage how he's more quiet.
He's a listener.
I remember our first call, I thought when he's coming, I thought he'd be like, what's up, man? But I love it because you see the path, it's just the realness, but he's looking you in the eye, he's genuine.
Yeah.
So you meet him, so go ahead.
On the DISC assessment, he's a high I. Mm. He's a flamingo, and that's the same exact thing that I am. So instantly I understood, we understood each other. But anyways, I met him. He didn't realize who I was. Then we all met in the room, and he was like, oh, man, you're Nate. I was like, yeah. And long story short, he got a chance to meet my mother, and we chatted in the room and everything. And all eyes were always on me in those first couple to few conferences I went to with me being in BU, because people knew me as Nate the Young Cub. That's where Nate the Great came from.
Oh, nice.
Was from him, because he's the one that kind of, there's Nate the Great.
That's, I love it.
And it molded into that. So that's kind of how I established that connection with him.
Yeah, yeah.
But most importantly, like on a job level, because again, I worked at McDonald's. I've worked at, a gas station, Dick's Sporting Goods. And I know you like to say this a lot, Mark, there's levels to things. Even Meek Mill talks about it. And working anywhere from fast food, and I went all the way up to selling cars.
Yes, yeah.
And it's funny, because I left jobs, every time I left a job was after I finished an ET conference.
That's awesome. That says a lot. It's about investing. I love ET. I would speak the world. He's amazing. So I vouch for that on every level too. But this isn't even just a promo. Like, ET's not paying us money to be. This is like helping people to understand the mindset of what it continues to take to invest and grow for whatever you're in, figuring your journey out along the way. But there's, like you said, after you go to those conferences, you quit, and there's absolutely something about when you get around more people, not only that are, it's important you get them that are where you are in the journey, they're like-minded, but then also you see others at one level and a few levels above, and you realize they breathe like you, they think they're not these magical, and they're honest, and they're like, it was through hard work, you can do it. And there's something about that makes you think, wow, I can do this. I'm gonna do this. Like, but a lot of people don't want to to get out of their comfort zone enough to get around and invest and do whatever it takes, or call someone at that, whatever it is, or do a free internship to get around that, and they wonder why it doesn't just fall in their lap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it gets contagious. Like, when you see it, it becomes almost like the more high performers you're around, the bar keeps getting raised, and not in a way you're comparing yourself and like feeling down your life, but it becomes like a new normal. Like, you start to accomplish more and you're like, oh yeah, that's, I should be doing, like, it raises the bar to the new normal. And like, you took action, you kept taking action, which is key. Yeah. A lot of people can go to that, but they're not going to go back and keep taking action like you did.
No, that's so true. I mean, 17, 18 years old, again, like I said, I cut the friends out from high school. My new friends were owners of multi-million dollar companies. And this was still in my teenage years. So like you said, I like accustomed, a new mentality by hanging around those types of people that were in real estate, and they're in tax companies. And my one homie, he pulled up in his Audi, it wasn't an R8, but it was like the one under that. And I'm just like, whoa, like this is insane. So I realized.
And they're good people.
Exactly. They're not smuggling drugs or anything
like that. Like they all have, because that's what he's all about. Because you can sometimes go to those and it could be, you can tell when you fit in with the values of, that's something that's important to bring up too. And I'm not saying where you fit in, where your values are, but some are all about, and if that's what they want, cool, but all about just the sales, the money, but their values are so much about the impact, the influence, like what your why is, and how that leads to you being able to make more and influence more, and but you see them crushing it, but they're like, they're people with values too. Wouldn't you agree? Like that's what is gonna, that you're like, man, that they're doing this, they're living this amazing life, and they care.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the values are everything. I mean, especially hanging around people like that, it makes you, because again, you know, I went through these different jobs and phases, and then it kind of got to the point where I was like, I kind of want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it transitioned because I was hanging around people that were doing their own thing.
Yes.
So working a corporate job just wasn't realistic anymore.
You start to see perspective changes through experience.
Absolutely.
You only know what you know. And so then you're with these people more than you're a group. So then you start actually building relationships with them where you're not just meeting them at events and stuff, but you're connecting then you're at a point where you're probably like talking on the phone or through text or did you start to click? Like how did you just kind of organically let those things happen? Because to be honest about the fear part and all that, like everyone already has fear and self-doubt. Mm. You battle it your whole life. For each new level ongoing, it never goes away, and it shouldn't, because you realize it's actually a strength that you can push through that leads to courage. But you in your head, you're probably thinking, well, I'm 17, I'm 18, I can't, they're not going to want to talk to, they're not, they'll want to say hi, or they'll want to, but are they going to want to have a phone? You know, were you thinking those types of things?
I was, because being like very shy as a young kid, it kind of, because whenever I went to those conferences and I had this, it's kind of different how it played out, you know, just with me investing into that, I generated a decent amount of publicity where I had people coming up to me like, what's up, Nate? I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, do I know you? And they're like, hey, I know you don't know me, but I saw you on ET's video.
That's awesome.
And that's when I'm like, holy cow, this is cool. Like this video stuff really works. But I was just so accepting, and I'm really good at feeling people's energy out, especially with the intentions. But of course, going to an ET conference, as you and I both know, Mark, it's family. You know, you go up and you like give somebody a big old dap, you know, hug them and everything, and that's what I got adapted to. And since I got adapted to that, you know, meeting all these different people, you know, at these conferences and just people today, I now have a sense of, you know, actually greeting them with like love and just setting the intention of genuineness. Even though, and here's the thing, you're gonna have some people in your life, they might not have the best intentions, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that you gotta change your intentions.
Yes. Right?
You still gotta do your thing by going out and saying, hey, I respect you, you know, I appreciate you. Because when you do that and you come at it from a standpoint of, I'm gonna do this because I heard this about you.
You can love people at an arm's length, but you keep doing what you're doing. And also, you needed to stop wasting energy on trying to over-explain and wanting to convince everyone to support you that doesn't understand it, and invest that energy into continuing to do and just show them over time. Because you can focus all the time, and we're humans. And some people are close and you're like, you want that, but they're not gonna, and you have to have something deeper in you that's like, I have to keep pushing whether or not, because the truth is no one's gonna know. They shouldn't know. No, like me, you could be doing something that I work and I always am gonna say keep going for it, but I may not see what you're, I'd be like, I think that sounds, but you still have to have something like Mark's made it here, but he doesn't get what I'm wanting to do here.
Right.
And there's different levels of people, but you had to cut, not completely cut them out, but not keep wasting your time justifying. And sometimes you want people also, the other part is you want them to see the fruits of what you're excited about it. It's like, I believe in God, in Jesus, but I don't preach down people's throats every day about it, because I don't want to, you know, some people can push people, but I know how it's changed my life, and I couldn't imagine it without that. So I'll just live my life and be the best I can be, and then in different conversations when someone will bring it up at a time, I'll have the opportunity to maybe share with them, and they might be like, oh wow, I never, you know, yeah. Versus trying to constantly be like, you should believe in this, and you should, you see like the comparisons, like,
right.
But you can be doing it out of the right intentions, but it's like, you're gonna get pushback.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, like, and it's funny, because maybe even for some of the listeners that are listening to this, they have people that, you know, they got to convince to stay with them. And they wonder why they can't get to the next levels, because you're convincing the wrong people.
Mm. You know, and the other side of that, Nate, is you need to risk losing people. And that's that comfort zone. I need to, but what if I don't have, what if they don't like me again? What if that might happen? It probably, but that's that whole staying down, that's but when you connect with all these other people, every one of them is going to tell you, so what?
Right.
That's normal. Yeah. All of us went through that. Yeah. You have to go through that. Like, that's the difference. You get around other people and you're like, oh, okay.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It still takes guts, it takes courage, but it can be so easy to say it. And you've come so far for 22, it can be a lot harder to think even when you were 17, when you were first going to that first thing and what it was like, and doing your first video, and now owning a company that's helping others, companies and public figures make content. It's amazing. Like, you think of that. You're only 22 and how far that you've come. And people that are just right now graduating from college aren't where you are yet. And they don't have near the, and I'm not, whatever your journey is, do you. But you followed your gut, your instincts throughout this. I just, like, to me, I just like, it. I'm not easily impressed. I'm impressed that from 17 on, and I've watched you. You kept leaving it, but you would still. I've seen you work different jobs, but would you say, to help kind of move forward, like each one, you didn't own your own company, but you did. You try to lean towards more jobs that gave you more freedom and flexibility.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because each job, I realized. And then my last job, which was selling cars, the reason I wanted that as a job is because I realized you could make more, because it was based off of commissions.
Yep.
And you couldn't really do that, you know, working a fast food job or working a retail job. But then with me with selling cars, you know, you have the GM and everybody that's on your tail about not selling a car. And then I realized this isn't for me. Like, and then I got to the point, okay, maybe selling cars isn't just for me. Maybe having a boss isn't for me. So with me saying that, and I said this, Mark, I said, I'm never, ever in my life going to have and work for a boss. Never.
But I want everyone to understand this. You're not, I haven't talked to them, but I guarantee you, I know who you are. I guarantee you are a hard worker.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a difference. There's some people, that this is important, Nate, that everyone, I'm always thinking from the whole 360 view of what some are thinking. Oh, that's right, my boss is always breathing. Yep, I know, I feel it. You still have to be able to work your butt off wherever you are, but make your mind up that this isn't what I want, that I want to, the life I want to live. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. There's some people that are like lazy, flat out, and they think working for themselves is going to be easier. That's what they think, because they see people and they're like, I can make my own schedule, I can be on the beach, I can be making money while I sleep, which, by the way, you can, but after you work for years and years and years and years working your butt off, building stuff, then you can make money sleeping off years and years of building that. People leave that part out a lot.
Right.
But you're not that person. And I just want anyone, I know our listeners aren't like that, but anyone, if they happen to be thinking, oh yeah, I don't like, my boss sucks too, I should just, it's not because not having a boss is easier. You actually have to work harder for yourself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Than you'll ever work. But it's knowing who you are more and more that you're gonna be more like in that strength, like zone of genius, and be able to like flourish more.
Yeah.
And this is you.
Absolutely.
This is you, and everyone else is them. Because in this day and age of entrepreneur being so sexy and all that, everyone thinks like I should be an entrepreneur.
Of course.
But it's not the same. What Nate's saying is he worked his butt off since he was in high school, doing whatever it took, ongoing, tried this, tried that, worked hard, and realized, this isn't for me.
Absolutely. Like, you gotta stay consistent, because the things that people don't realize is whenever I was working, and the hardest job, Mark, that I had to work was the retail job. Mm. And the reason I'm saying this is because I literally had the managers, even the store manager, that were like very jealous of me because I had customers coming and asking for me and not for them. Just because I worked my tail off and my butt off.
That's the worst freaking I love you bringing this stuff up. I love these shows. Because as a business owner, and people don't even know half the time from the show and speaking that the company I built. So I not only speak, but I'll talk and do consulting or coaching or whatever. People, they'll pay me to talk to them, and I've seen it with huge companies to small, of they're wondering why they're having a breakdown, and and what you just explained, and I can't say some of their names, but they've got chains in your store. They're competing and jealous of each other versus what's a freaking win for the team, for the business, and they're sabotaging. And guess what? You're gonna lose the good people, because like rock stars, eagles, we all know they don't like to hang around turkeys. We've heard that. They don't.
Yeah.
And I was the bad leader in my earlier, I didn't know that. And I was too much of a coward to fire some of the crappy people like that. I wanted to be the nice guy.
Right.
But that's what I learned from that point of view, that I learned it's your fault. You've got to build it on the other end and get the right people. And that done the right way, those types of people should want to be a mentality that's even learning from some thinking, oh my gosh, what is he doing? How are you? That's awesome. There's cultures that are like that, and you'll be building that within your company and you'll learn along the way. But that's done the wrong way, and that was a blessing anyway. But yeah, that's, you're like, well, okay, so they're mad that people are, but you were probably going above and beyond and over delivering, and that's why you were getting more sales.
Always. Literally around.
Which makes the company more money, by the way.
Absolutely. And I got to the point, Mark, where
which is what a business is for.
But they thought more so in terms of
ego.
Exactly. And even around the holidays, just a quick point, I would literally, because I work cashier, you know, people person and everything. I wasn't a big, you know, folding clothes type of guy. That just wasn't me. So every time to work cash register, especially around the holidays, you know, you put the items in the bags, you know, have a great day, right? What I would do, I would get, because they had like these little coupon things and then it was blank on the back, I would get a pen, write Merry Christmas, Nate. And I slipped it in their bag. So that way, whenever they, and a lot of times they didn't even realize that.
Dude, you would get what we call on my team a token of awesomeness for caught doing awesome. If I would find out you were doing that or someone else, and verse being our policy states don't ever, nope. We would literally be like, dude, here's a, actually we have a little money machine. I'll show you when we're at Dreamshine. You get to play it and win money.
Oh, wow.
That would be caught doing awesome. Because I'd be like, I love that you freaking took the initiative and did that.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
When people are thinking of us, that's going to, what an amazing, what?
Yeah, nobody.
And they connect
like
that feeling with a store, with you.
Exactly. And that's why those people were coming in. Hey, is Nate here? Like, Mark, I literally had people, we had about 4 cash registers open. The line was bigger on my cash register compared to everybody else. Just because of the personal, hey, how you doing? You know, let's just say you're a customer. Hey, how you doing, Mark? And you'd be like, oh, I'm doing great, Nate. I'm just wanted to come say hello to you again. I appreciate you last time. I literally had people come in just to have a conversation with me.
That's
because
cool.
They were nearby. And it's like you said, it was the hard work and the dedication and the consistency, because working at a real retail job, especially in the area that I worked at, I was 20 minutes away from Penn State campus.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of college students work there. So whenever you have a lot of college students, you have a lot of people that are partying, you have a lot of ego that are into that as well. And when people see you doing well, the whole jealousy thing comes into play. And when the whole jealousy thing comes into play, they kind of, Nate, do this, Nate, do that. But the thing that I did do that, I did do this. So they didn't
That's
feel,
right.
They didn't feel as if, okay, now I'm gonna be controlling Nate. I still did my job.
That's, and you know, that's, I can't express, look, humility comes before honor, period. And you gotta be willing, you know this is, you know I'm not gonna be doing this for the rest of my life, but all right, I will work. Sometimes I would have someone be a jerk to me and I would work 10 times harder to just be like, I wouldn't say screw you, but I'd just be like, I will outwork the crap. I'm gonna clean the freaking crap out of this group. And I, you know, I'm not preaching any throat, but that verse would always come into my head. Any work you do, I'm totally butchering it, but it's like work as though,
right.
Work, you know what I mean? It's work as though you're working for God.
Yeah.
So I would think I'm working my butt off for this, is if God's proud of me. I think of it, no one else can see right now, but God's seeing this grind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work hard. And you still continue to do the most, you know, write the notes. But
absolutely.
Then you left that, obviously. But it's cool to see what your different parts of you are coming out that aren't just the regular norm. You're already thinking a little bit outside of the box at each thing that you're doing. And you're being you. You're inspiring people.
Right.
In the setting that you are.
Absolutely.
And people should know that. You don't have to just be sitting in a studio. You can start where you are. But when did you get to where you left and didn't have a boss?
Yeah, so whenever I made that decision, I was doing network marketing at the time.
Okay.
I got into network marketing. A friend of mine shared it with me. And I liked the idea because you didn't have a boss.
Gotcha.
You just had other like-minded people. And again, with me being in BU, I got around like-minded people already. So with me finding about network marketing, I realized, okay, now I'm around like-minded people that are gonna help you do well in business and you don't have a boss. So I did that for about 2-3 years. And you know, I love network marketing. It's a great business. But personally myself, I got to the point where I just still, in my book, wasn't my own boss. Because
yep.
It wasn't my product.
You didn't create. It's like you have to have an entrepreneurial spirit to be in that. Some people don't get that. And you have to be willing to work and be creative. They can give you the roadmap. I've taught people in MLMs, that's great. But you're going to...